Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to drivers that share Mazda's passion that cars make driving matter. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. Merry Christmas. This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. Later in the show, a Charlotte Talks Christmas tradition, a cup of Christmas tea. But first, we revisit our conversation from earlier this month about one of America's contributions to the world of music, jazz. It's an art form that has waned a bit in popularity, but there are those in Charlotte doing what they can to keep it alive and to provide you opportunities to hear it and enjoy it live. If you know jazz, you probably thought that was going to be Dave Brubeck's Take Five, but it's not, just a tip of the hat to him and the Merry Gentlemen of Christmas. That bit of trickery provided by pianist Noel Friedlein. Noel has been the leader of the Noel Friedlein Quintet for 26 years, performed all over the world, including the Montreux Jazz Festival, and led the band at the Bellagio in Las Vegas for years. But now he's home, and he, along with another native, Maria Howell, helped open a new jazz venue in town in recent weeks. We'll be talking about that with them and with two of the entrepreneurs working to breathe life into Charlotte's jazz scene. But first, we're going to hear about Maria Howell and Noel Friedlein's contribution to the holidays. Together, they have recorded a new Christmas album, and tonight, if you're listening on December 4th, they'll be performing songs from it in a show they call Noel and Maria, Home for the Holidays at Spirit Square's McGlowan Theater.
You'd be so nice to come home to. You'd be so nice by the fire. On this Christmas Eve, land of make-believe, you'd be all that my heart could desire. Under the stars, chilled by the winter, under December's moon, shining above through the snow.
That's the opening cut from Noel Friedlein and Maria Howell's Christmas album, Merry Christmas, My Dear, and both are here to share more from that and to talk about efforts to broaden Charlotte's live music scene.
Merry Christmas, my dear.
Yeah. Well, I see no reason to talk because we just sit here and play this music all morning, and we'd be much happier for it, I must say. Maria Howell is to my left, Noel Friedlein is to my right, reversed for you watching on Facebook Live this morning. Thank you for being here. Good morning and welcome.
Well, thank you so much for having us.
It's a lovely album, and as all your recent work is, and we're going to be playing some of your other recent work as we go through this conversation. The last time that the two of you were on this program, you didn't know it.
I suspected it, though.
Because we did a conversation with lyricist Tim Rice.
Oh, yes.
At one of the country clubs in town, and you, Neil, you and your, was it the quintet or was it the trio?
I think we just had a trio that night, yeah.
You and your trio were providing the music, and Maria Howell was among the singers singing the songs of Timothy Rice, and we put it all together in an hour-long radio show. Was that the first time the two of you have worked together, or did you find yourselves together earlier than that?
No, it was earlier than that. Noel's been saying 5 years, but it's really been about 10 now.
Wow.
Well, time flies when you're having a wonderful time, you know?
That was a good one. That's good. So, yeah. So we met in on an engagement, and we fell in love with each other's musicality, and that's it.
So, how does that work? You met on an engagement.
I tried to sound so formal, didn't I?
Well, no, I mean, you, at a gig. You met at an opportunity to perform.
Yeah.
Did you rehearse? Did you just come together and I'm going to sing these songs you play?
No, absolutely rehearsed. But usually
actually,
those
we didn't rehearse.
Okay, no.
Oh. Yeah, we just went and did the gig that day. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, usually it happens when someone brings you together. They hire both of you.
Right.
And then, you know, it always happens on a gig when you see somebody, you hear somebody, and like, I like what they're doing and what they're saying. And that's pretty much how it started.
So you, Maria, are from Gastonia.
Yes.
And you, Neil, are from Kansas?
I'm from a little bitty town in Kansas. It's actually kind of redundant. Clearwater, Kansas.
How did you find your way to Charlotte?
Yeah. Oh, man. We don't have enough time to give you the whole thing. But it was basically... We were in Las Vegas, had this gig at the Bellagio. We wanted to get back to the East Coast. We were looking for, you know, as I always say, Las Vegas wasn't exciting enough. In Des Moines, we couldn't find anything to live there. So we'd show, you know, that and Tulsa were right out. No, you know, I had played here several times in the 90s during Springfest with at the time was based out of Jacksonville, Florida. And I always, every time I was here, I was like, man, Charlotte is such a nice city. And so when we started looking to get back to the East Coast, Charlotte became it.
And you started here, and you've moved all over the place.
Yes.
I know you performed in Japan. Is that right?
Yes, Japan and New York, L.A.
For a long time. But how did you come to this music? This is not, you know, jazz is not necessarily native to Charlotte, is it?
Well,
I don't think of your music necessarily as being strictly jazz.
No, because Nancy Wilson is a very, very big influence on my life. And Nancy
and
Wilson.
Not the one from Heart.
No. Nancy Wilson.
She's an amazing singer, but very different.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, Nancy Wilson she considered herself a song stylist.
Yes.
Of course, jazz, you know, because a lot of us, we have to get the definitions right. Jazz, we call it jazz, but when they were performing it, it was called pop. So she was a stylist, and I always patterned myself. People still call me jazz, although that's my first love.
I only saw Nancy Wilson sing once live, and it was at Davidson College.
Oh, my.
And Lunas McGlowan played for her, and it was spectacular because it was just her and him, and it was just unbelievable.
Oh, well, awesome. I have to say I've had a very special experience in my life. I've had an opportunity to perform with Lunas McGlowan and with Nancy Wilson.
Right. Oh.
Not at the same time.
You've had also, Maria, notable success as an actress. And I say notable because a lot of people from Charlotte who try to make it in films and do get into film and TV maybe have a line. If they're really, really lucky, they get a line and it doesn't get cut. You have been in a lot of things that didn't get cut and you had a lot of lines. You were in The Color Purple, you the movie, Lifetime's Army Wives. I saw you in a four or five arc role in NBC's Revolution?
Revolution.
And you were terrific.
Thank you.
I mean, terrific. Where does the acting and the singing come together? Which came first, I guess, is the question.
Well, according to my family, the acting came first because I was always acting up at home. But I always used to say my mom and dad were my first directors because they always told me what to do, and I followed the rules.
As parents are wont to do.
Exactly. Mm. So the singing came first professionally, but I think with singing on stage all the time, you're constantly acting if you're effectively telling a story.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, that volleys back and forth with, you know, the singing, the acting helps my singing, the singing helps my acting. I'm on microphone, so that helps my voiceover work. So.
Because if you're a really good singer, you're a good actress or a good actor. I mean, you have to be. You have to act the song. Otherwise, the people don't get the intimacy of it, the little nuances of it, it would seem to be. You've had, Noel, your own quintet. You've recorded lots of CDs, eight or nine.
We just released our ninth one, yeah.
Now, what do you call them? Because they're not CDs anymore. What do you call they're not LPs? What are they?
You know, I've always just said albums.
Okay.
And, yeah, even though that, you know, and this one, actually, we did do this one in CDs, and we did this in vinyl. Our new Christmas album, Merry Christmas, My Dear, we went ahead. This is ninth one in, first time I've had vinyl. And,
oh, wow.
It's pretty exciting, you know.
And you can hear the little pops and clicks in the vinyl.
Absolutely.
So it sounds like the fireplace crackling.
Yes, yes.
But you have these albums. You play the Montreux Jazz Festival, which is famous. You were the lead the house band at the Bellagio in Las Vegas. And you've written and arranged for Disney and ESPN and ABC and others. How did all this happen for you? What's your background? You're not just a cocktail lounge pianist. You're much more than that.
Well, you know, I am from the jazz mecca of the world, which is Kansas. And it's also it's not quite the cultural center of the universe. That's Oklahoma City. Everybody knows that. you know, I literally, Mike, I mean, as a kid, my father's a piano player, not professionally, but he used to play Western swing, like Bob Wills, Texas Playboys.
Oh, okay.
And, but we used to rush home from the A&W drive-in so we wouldn't miss Hee Haw. I mean, that's a true story. I remember, you know, like, we gotta go, because we didn't want to miss, you know, where were you last night? Anyway, but, The probably the one guy in my little hometown that knew what jazz was gave me Dave Brubeck's Time Out when I was in seventh grade. And I must say, as a kid, I looked at it. It didn't look cool. You know, I mean, the front side was this mosaic, and the back side was these three guys wearing dark suits and skinny black ties and horn-rimmed glasses. I was like, is this a band of accountants? What is, you know? And but, you know, I put it on, and you know, when it finally got to take five, I was like, wait, I've heard that before. And so, then by as luck would have it, saw Dr. Billy Taylor at the Wichita Jazz Festival, which sounds like an oxymoron. But I remember saying as a kid, that's what I want to do, and never thinking I'd actually get to do it. But I'm still amazed today when I'm sitting there and playing with people like someone like Maria Howe. I'm sitting there going, I can't believe I'm getting to do this.
Wow. So let's hear something else from this new collection that you put together, Merry Christmas, My Dear. Your treatment of Hark the Herald Angels Sing. It's Maria Howell and Noel Friedlein.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations, arise, join the triumph of the skies, with angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn.
Just a little snippet. It's much longer than that on the album. This album has both secular and religious tunes on it. How did you decide what to include?
Well,
because all these songs are chestnuts.
I'm gonna say that we wanted to start from a place of songs that we loved, and I always say I consider the audience, the public, what would make them feel something. It was difficult to narrow it down because we had a lot more tunes we could have chosen.
That's jazz singer Maria Howell, who joined us earlier this month, along with pianist and arranger Noel Friedlein, to talk about their new Christmas album, Merry Christmas, My Dear. We'll have more conversation with them in the next segment, and later in the show, we'll be joined by Jazz Art Charlotte CEO Lonnie Davis and Larry Farber, who's the owner of Middle Sea Jazz Club, and we'll also bring you our annual reading of A Cup of Christmas Tea. This is Charlotte Talks on WFAE.
I looked at you and suddenly, something in your eyes I see, soon begins bewitching me. It's that old devil moon you stole from the sky. That old devil moon in your eyes. You and your glance make this romance too hard to handle. Stars in the night, blazing the light, can't hold a candle to your razzle dazzle. You know you got me flying high and wide on a magic carpet ride full of butterflies inside. I wanna cry, want to croon, I wanna laugh like a loon.
Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, dedicated to those who believe a car should stir one's emotions and deliver a heightened state of driving. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. More music from Maria Howell and Noel Friedlein.
Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and stay right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top. Ain't no use in diving. What's the use in jiving? Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top. Well, the buzzer told the monkey you are choking me. Release that hold and I will set you free. The monkey looked that buzzard right dead in the eye. You said your story's real touching, but it sounds just like a lie. Come on, straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and stay right. You better straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Baba, don't you blow your top wet.
Have to replace the keys on the keyboard. He's tearing them apart. The old Nat King Cole classic with the Maria Howell and the Noel Friedlein album released this past August, Straighten Up and Fly Right. Not only have they teamed up on a Christmas album, apparently they've teamed up before on other things. And of course, the performance tonight at Spirit Square. But they've also worked together opening a new club in town, the Middle Sea Jazz Club. It's a new 200-seat venue that Larry Farber brought to life recently, and he joins us now. Welcome to you.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Nice to have you here. He's here with Maria and Noel and with a woman who has made it her mission in life to see to it that jazz has a place in Charlotte. Lonnie Davis is responsible for Jazz Art Charlotte and for their monthly concerts at the Jazz Room at the Stage Door Theater at the Blumenthal. Welcome back to the program.
Glad to be back. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Larry, we have not had a dedicated jazz club, I don't think, in Charlotte since Jonathan's closed. Jonathan's closed in 1994. It's five steps away from where we're sitting right now.
Right here.
Although it was in the basement.
That's right.
Why did you think that now is the time to take another crack at this?
Well, first of all, when I look and hear the music's going on today, we never know when the right time could possibly be, but I know when people came into my life like Noel, Maria, and other great musicians in Charlotte, it was a point in my career post booking bands around the city and around the country. It was one of those legacy things that was really important to me. It was that last bucket list thing that I wanted to do from Charlotte. And I really felt I'm a native, and I watched Jonathan and his dad for a decade and watched jazz come back with great people like Lonnie and Beckler and some other great efforts. But I wanted a club dedicated to the musician. I wanted a place where it was built for the musician. The acoustics were perfect. The instruments were great. The focus and lights were all about music. And I've watched Charlotte mature. This has been something I've wanted to do for a decade. And I jumped in. And I am so glad to say after 1 month, we're off and running.
The Jonathan you mentioned is Jonathan Gelman, who
right.
helped with his father run the Jonathan's Jazz Club, the Jazz Cellar, I guess.
Right.
At what is now?
Duckworth.
Until it closed. Is Duckworth still open?
I think it is.
It's on the corner.
Yeah, somewhere right here.
Try on and see.
Right.
But anyway, he is your general manager. You brought him back from the...
You know, things...
We were
having lunch. That's right. That's right. I was having, actually, Maria knows this. Maria and Noel were playing a date, and I saw Jonathan in a corner. Mm-hmm. I said, Jonathan, I'm getting ready to do something special, and it'll be much better with your help. We talked. I could see sort of that excitement in his eyes. And as he saw the plans and he knew that we had a really good group of folks associated with it, he jumped in. And this wouldn't have happened without his experience.
Although I'm told that he asked you a question: were you going to be doing this for the money, or just or for other reasons? Because it's a terrible way to make money.
That quote in the paper got changed around a little bit, but indeed, Mike, like anything, when I started music with friends 13 years ago, it wasn't about the money. When I brought Tony Bennett here, and I heard you in the earlier segment talk about Lunas, the first thing Tony said was, "That guy's my buddy, and I'm playing in this venue." And that's why I did it, because it was a love of music. And the same thing evolved with this. We have to make money, but I'm in a point in my life that if we make this much money and I have this much fun and I can do what you just did, hear their music and hear other people, that joy is worth more than any money that I could receive.
You've been holding monthly concerts, Lonnie, for years now, I think. How many years has it been?
It's been 7 years.
A long time.
Yeah.
So has it turned out to be, because you were on the show at the very beginning of this venture. It wasn't even called Jazz Arts. It was called the Jazz Initiative.
Jazz Arts Initiative.
So has it turned out to be, over the last 7 years, what you hoped it would be when you first started out? Because you started out on a wing and a prayer.
Yes, we certainly did. I would say we are. Of course, you know, we have big, hairy, audacious goals, and we still do today. And so we're only a fraction, you know, into where we ultimately want to be as an organization.
But but you're doing it, and you're doing it regularly. It's not a, we'll try it for a couple of, and the money runs out, we'll go dark for several weeks, and we'll come back. No, you don't do that. You're there all the time. Are you getting help from the Blumenthal?
We are. They are a program partner. It's certainly our program, but they have been in support since the very beginning, and we're very grateful.
You call jazz America's classical music. Why?
Well, because we created it, and it would not have come from any other place in the world except here in America, and that is due to all of the experiences that went into the creation of that music. And so it is our classical music.
You know, Maria said this just before we started. Maybe it was on the air that when Nancy Wilson was singing quote-unquote jazz, mm-hmm. it was pop music because they were singing songs from what has come to be known as the American Songbook, mm-hmm. most of them. And it was popular music. It wasn't just I didn't think of it as being jazz. When I listened to what we just played, I don't think of that as being, although it's jazzy, I don't think that it's necessarily just, it's not, it's just music to me.
Right.
But that all changed when rock and roll came in. The instrumentation changed, the sensibility changed, everything about it changed. And you, Larry, were involved in that as a musician and also as a booker. So how does jazz, or what we're talking about today, whatever you want to call it, fit into today's music scene? Hear from both of you about this.
Lonnie?
Oh, that's a great question.
Because you don't hear it on the radio. We hear it on WFAE's high-definition secondary channel, but you don't hear it anywhere else.
That's right. Unfortunately, the music has become more of a niche type of a music. I mean, it's never gone away, and I believe it will always be here. But you have to work a little bit harder to get access to the music. It's certainly, you know, it's not as popular.
Why? It's American. Why? What happened?
I think in many ways jazz it's not creating revenue.
And I also think what you said, the sensibilities in life have changed people's expectations of what they want.
Well, and I think also, you know, jazz was popular music, and then jazz became art. Mm-hmm. And then art is a much more challenging sell.
Is that because you have to have chops to be a jazz musician, whether you're a singer or whether you're a musician, or whether you're playing piano or bass or drums or whatever?
I'd like to think so.
You have to have chops. You can't just pick up a guitar and learn four chords and scream. Hmm.
It is definitely much more complex. It's always been, there's always been a hurdle to be, if you want to be a jazz musician, a jazz vocalist, it takes a great deal more time, and the music can be much more complex. It doesn't have to be.
So you said jazz has become art.
Yeah.
That's the death knell for no, it is. For a lot of things. I think that's one of the big problems with the arts in general. People hear that word and they're
Intimidated
yeah. by it.
So Mike, what I'm doing, and that's a great point, is that so many people, as I opened the club, said, Larry, we're so excited about it. You've been in music. You've opened this. You've had music with friends. But I don't think I like jazz. Tell me about jazz. So I believe that part of my goal is to wipe away those preconceived definitions of the word jazz. And it does blend. I mean, our first night was Maria and Noel. And like you, I don't look at that and go, that's pure jazz. It is middle C, great music. Mm-hmm. If I could change the name, it would be middle C, come here, great music. And by the way, there's some jazz elements, and we're going to do a little bit of everything. And I think people have to come to our club with an open mind, and I need to educate them as to all the different kinds of jazz.
Well, help people through this, because there are a lot of people who would, I think, would like this music and probably do like this music. They just don't know it.
Mm. Right.
So help. Yeah. Right. But you put that word on it, jazz, or you yes. put that word on it, arts, and they go, that's not for me. So help yes. a listener who is a little on the fence about this into this. Make it approachable. How do you do that?
I think you certainly provide education, and you provide variety.
That's another bad word.
Well, it's without it, though, you won't have an audience, because you have to start somewhere. And so I think exposure to the music and providing variety, because there's so many types of quote unquote jazz. And in many ways, jazz is a 4-letter word, because once people hear jazz, they're like, oh, you know, I don't think I like jazz.
Yeah.
And so it's important to let them know, well, you probably do like jazz, but you just don't realize that this is also jazz.
How did a little girl from Gastonia come to approach this and understand it and welcome it and realize that's something that enriches my soul? Because that's what it does.
You know what? What you're just saying is what I was thinking while Lonnie was talking. It's all about an experience. If you can have I always said to myself, I don't want people coming to hear Maria Howell as a jazz singer. Mm-hmm. I want them to come hear Maria and have an experience. Now, whatever I infuse in that experience, let's all go on the same ride.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it's all about that bad word education. That is educating.
Right.
When
mm-hmm.
you give someone and allow them to come and join you, because it's just like theater. You know,
right.
You go and it's an interactive type of situation. I can't do what I do without the audience. The audience can't really get without me. So it's this collaboration.
And jazz covers a lot of different territory. A lot of it's been comprised of what, as I've referred to, the music from the Great American Songbook, standards from composers that, if I mention their names, even rock and roll fans who were born last week, I think would know some of these composers' names. But it doesn't have to be that way. For instance, here is Noel Friedlein and Maria Howell's take on Al Green's Let's Stay Together.
I'm so in love with you. Whatever you want to do is all right with me. 'Cause you make me feel so brand new. I want to spend my whole life with you. Let me say the same. Since we've been together, loving you forever is all I need. Let me be the one you come running to. 'Cause I'll never be untrue. Baby, let's stay together. Why do people break up, turn around and make up? You see, I just can't conceive. Because you never do all that to me. Being around you is all I see. Oh, baby, let's stay together. Loving you whether times are good or bad, happy or sad, or maybe good or bad.
Let's stay together.
Oh my God, that's good.
And we just listen to more music.
Maria Howell and Noel Friedland, Let's Stay Together, Al Green's classic song. The music scene in Charlotte kind of runs hot and cold, and maybe it's the case almost everywhere in the country except for a few key cities. And we lost a lot of venues in the last couple of years. Tremont Music Hall, the Double Door, which was there forever. They weren't dedicated to jazz. They were dedicated to a different kind of music. But what's the secret, do you think, to being successful in presenting this or any other kind of music? You've been doing it for 7 years, Lonnie. What seems to work?
I think keeping the music accessible and affordable is a big thing, because you don't want to charge a ton of money if folks are on the fence and they're not sure if they even like it. So you have to make it a very open, welcoming, and accessible opportunity, and then provide a lot of variety for folks.
And Larry, we don't have a tradition in Charlotte of nightclubs, and this is your place, Middle C, is I haven't been there. I'm just reading about it.
You have a hat now.
I do have a hat. It's a 200-seat room. That's a lot of seats to fill, and it's not a place where you go and have dinner with the piano player tinkling in the background, providing some digestive music. It's a place where the musicians are front and center.
It is so much about that. And a couple of quick points as I was listening to the music we just listened to and sort of answering from a previous segment. What's so cool about these music rooms and these rooms that play jazz is now, if you look at the rooms in D.C. and Seattle that we all know in New York, they are mixing it up. My good friend Philip Bailey from Earth, Wind, and Fire called me last night. He's got a jazz group that just played at Seattle, and he said, I want to come to Charlotte. He said, you're not going to believe what I'm doing, but it's me singing what I love. And for me, the love of bringing Philip, doing jazz here, will be incredible. Secondly, when Noel and Maria come back in January, they're doing Stevie Wonder with the jazz feel. So that's the whole point, is it's great music.
Yeah.
They jazz it up a little bit. They make it fun and entertaining. That is sort of, to me, the biggest challenge is programming, making it exciting, making it fun. And also for me, I want to bring some big names here that have not been in our circuit.
We're going to talk about that when we come back. We should tell people where it is.
That would be a good idea.
Quickly.
300 South Brevard, right across from the NASCAR Hall of Fame, the Convention and Visitors Bureau. We have the street level side for that point.
Okay. We're going to come back with more of our four guests here and more music as well. Noel Friedland, Maria Howell, Lonnie Davis, and Larry Farber at Charlotte Talks on WFAE. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. Lloyd on Facebook says Noel Friedland is the Mozart of jazz and Maria Howell is the Leontine Price. And there she is. Love them. Love jazz. I celebrate its revival. And that's what we're talking about today. But first, a little more music. Old Devil Moon.
I looked at you and suddenly something in your eyes I see soon begins bewitching me. It's that old devil moon you stole from the sky. That old devil moon in your eyes. You and your glance make this romance too hard to handle. Stars in the night blazing the light. Can't hold a candle to your razzle-dazzle. You know you got me flying high and wide on a magic carpet ride full of butterflies inside. I wanna cry, want to croon. I wanna laugh like a loon. It's that old devil moon in your
You know, it's astounding to be able to say that we have this kind of talent here in Charlotte. I mean, it's astounding. And we're just giving you a little taste. We're not playing all these different cuts that we could have played. We could have just played for 3 hours. Noel Friedlein, Maria Howell. Lonnie Davis is also with us from Jazz Art Charlotte, and Larry Farber, the owner of the brand new Middle Sea Jazz. That's it, Middle Sea Jazz, right?
Middle Sea Jazz.
Okay. You've been working with this Jazz Arts Initiative, Lonnie, and trying to build it into what you hope will be one of the significant arts groups in Charlotte, right up there with the symphony and the ballet. Are you on your way or have you arrived?
We are on our way. We do want to continue to help change the culture of the city by bringing in, making Charlotte a jazz destination.
Yeah. You, both of you, Lonnie and Larry, have been described as audacious.
It takes that.
Because of your ambitions and the kind of music that you're presenting to people, which is not necessarily the biggest draw. And as I said, you sunk a lot of money into this club. For many people, coming to that club will be a new experience.
Right.
So what can they expect? I remember getting this question when the Broadway series was just beginning to build steam here. And people would call and say, I've heard you talk about whatever the show was. And wife and I would like to go, but we don't know what to wear. We don't know what to expect.
You can expect to be entertained, to have fun, to hear music as though it was in your living room, to be able to really notice that we spent our money on acoustics, on instruments, on sound. We put in a sound system that is honestly better than any sound system in any club that I have been to. When we looked at our budget, Mike, the thing that I want, furniture is important, food is a necessity, great drink is a necessity, but for me, it was about creating a sound system that allowed our patrons to hear it in the best possible way. So we did that, and we want the culture to be inclusive. We want to be friendly. And we want to give artists of all, just like Lonnie does, from the people that are just starting to the greatest names out there, an opportunity to have Charlotte as their stage.
And the Jazz Room, Lonnie, which is at the Stage Door Theater, a lot of people don't even know the Stage Door Theater exists. It's at the corner of
Fifth
and College, and it's called the Stage Door Theater because it is the stage door to the Belk and the Booth Theaters, but you're in this little black box theater. What's so nice about that place, it seems to me, is just how incredibly intimate it is.
Yes, I think that is one of the secrets. That's what audiences want. They want an intimate.
I mean, you're right there.
Yeah, I think just, allowing folks to have a firsthand experience and, be in a room that's very small and just feel like they have a connection with the musicians. I think that's very important, and I think that's why that room has worked so well for us.
Let's get another taste of the two of you together. This is a tune from the Great American Songbook, for those of you who don't know, written in 1952, popularized by Nat King Cole and later by Bobby Darin and others.
We can only give you love that lasts forever, and a promise to be near each time you call. And the only heart I own, for you alone, that's all. Yeah, that's all. And a hand to hold when leaves begin to fall. And the love whose burning light will warm the winter night. That's all. Yeah, that's all. There are those, I am sure, who have told you they'd give you the world for a toy. All I have are these arms to enfold. Destroy. If you're wondering what I'm asking in return, dear, you'll be glad to know that my demands are small. Say it's me that you'll adore for now and evermore, baby, that's all. Yeah.
One of the things that makes this music so wonderful, at least. There's a basic structure to it, obviously. There's a melodic line and harmonies and words that are always the same. But when you listen to the two of you perform, it's never going to be the same twice. Never. Never. That's the nature of the beast. So how do you do that? Because I get I've always gotten the impression, and I know this to be true because I've talked to people about this, that you just feel each other out.
It's called trust.
Yeah.
That's exactly the word I was going to
It's called trust.
It's trust, and also when you get someone like Maria, for example, as a vocalist, I always tell the guys in the band before you have someone who's not played with us before, I say, don't worry, you know, we can go wherever we want. Maria's going to be right there with us.
Right.
And that's unusual. And the cool thing is that, you know, we trust each other. We're willing to take chances. If we get there, wonderful. If we don't, it's okay. I mean, it's like Miles Davis. You can listen to almost every Miles Davis recording, and I can point out mistakes.
Right.
But those happened because he was reaching for something.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
You know, and no one went, oh, it was so good, and then he made that mistake, and I quit listening. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like, oh, did you hear what he was going for? You know, and it's so honest, and there's no, you know, he's not thinking. He's in the moment. And so that's the one thing about that I've always been attracted with jazz, in particular, is the improvisatory element. And when you get the right musicians, again, with that trust, you can go places, and that's where the magic happens. Mm-hmm. Now, the trick that happens is you'll do something, and it'll go someplace you did not intend, completely a different place, and you think, oh, let's do that again. But the magic's in the moment.
I've discovered
the hard way, like when you try and recreate that magical moment, you would go, oh, it wasn't as good the second time, because you force the music to go somewhere as opposed to listening where the music is taking you.
That was pianist and arranger Noel Friedlein, along with jazz singer Maria Howell, who joined us earlier this month to talk about their new Christmas album, Merry Christmas, My Dear. We were also joined by Jazz Art Charlotte CEO Londi Davis and Larry Farber, who is the owner of the new Middle C Jazz Club. We close this Christmas Day edition of Charlotte Talks with a poem I discovered about 30 years ago. It was written by Minnesota actor and author Tom Haig for a Christmas program at his church. When he was asked to speak, he agonized over what to write. He couldn't seem to come up with anything to say until the night before. But it all came rushing out on one of those yellow legal pads. The next day, he walked to the lectern to read what he had written. The church was filled to overflowing, but when he finished, he left the stage to stony silence. He thought that he had bombed, but actually he had struck a chord in the congregation, a deep one. After a moment, the applause started and built and lingered. It turned out that the people listening to that first reading were simply too moved to respond right away, too caught up in their own thoughts about what he had read. But when they finally did respond, they leapt to their feet. Haig went on to publish his poem. It met with phenomenal success, and in many places, like here, the reading of a cup of Christmas tea has become an anticipated annual event. The log was in the fireplace, all spiced and set to burn. At last, the yearly Christmas race was in the clubhouse turn. The cards were in the mail, all the gifts beneath the tree, and 30 days reprieve till Visa could catch up with me. And though smug satisfaction seemed the order of the day, something still was nagging me and would not go away. A week before, I got a letter from my old great aunt. It read, "Of course I'll understand completely if you can't, but if you find you have some time, how wonderful if we could have a little chat and share a cup of Christmas tea." She'd had a mild stroke that year, which crippled her left side. Though housebound now, my folks had said it hadn't hurt her pride. They said, "She'd love to see you. What a nice thing it would be for you to go and maybe have a cup of Christmas tea." But boy, I didn't want to go. Oh, what a bitter pill to see an old relation and how far she'd gone downhill. I remembered her as vigorous, as funny, and as bright. I remembered Christmas Eve's when she regaled us half the night. I didn't want to risk all that. I didn't want the pain. I didn't need to be depressed. I didn't need the strain. And what about my brother? Why not him? She's his aunt, too. I thought I had to justify, but then before I knew, the reasons not to go I so painstakingly had built were cracking wide and crumbling in an acid rain of guilt. I put on boots and gloves and cap. Shame stinging every pore. And armed with squeegee, sand, and map, I went out my front door.
I drove in from the suburbs to the older part of town. The pastels of the newer homes gave way to gray and brown. I had that disembodied feeling as the car pulled up and stopped beside the wooden house that held the Christmas cup. How I got up to her door, I really couldn't tell. I watched my hand rise up and press the button of the bell. I waited, aided by my nervous rocking to and fro. And just as I was thinking I should turn around and go, I heard the rattle of the china in the hutch against the wall, the triple beat of 2 feet, and a crutch came down the hall. The clicking of the door latch and the sliding of the bolt, and a little swollen struggle popped it open with a jolt. She stood there, pale and tiny, looking fragile as an egg. I forced myself from staring at the brace that held her leg, and though her thick bifocals seemed to crack and spread her eyes, their milky and refracted depths lit up with young surprise. "Come in, come in," she laughed the words, and she took me by the hand, and all my fears dissolved away as if by her command. We went inside, and then before I knew how to react, before my eyes and ears and nose was Christmas past, alive, intact. The scent of candied oranges, of cinnamon and pine, the antique wooden soldiers in their military line, the porcelain nativity I'd always loved so much, the Dresden and the crystal I'd been told I mustn't touch. My spirit fairly bolted like a child out of class and danced among the ornaments of calico and glass. Like magic, I was six again, deep in a Christmas spell, steeped in the million memories the boy inside knew well. And here among old Christmas cards so lovingly displayed, a special place of honor for the ones we kids had made. And there, beside her rocking chair, the center of it all, my great aunt stood and said how nice it was I'd come to call. I sat and rattled on about the weather and the flu. She listened very patiently, then smiled and said, "What's new?" Thoughts and words began to flow. I started making sense. I lost the phony breeziness I use when I get tense. She was still passionately interested in everything I did. She was positive, encouraging, like when I was a kid. Simple generalities still sent her into fits. She demanded the specifics, the particulars, the bits. We talked about the limitations that she'd had to face. She spoke with utter candor and with humor and good grace. Then, defying the reality of crutch and straightened knee, on wings of hospitality, she flew to brew the tea. I sat alone with feelings that I hadn't felt in years. I looked around at Christmas through a thick, hot blur of tears. And the candles and the holly she'd arranged on every shelf, the impossibly good cookies that she still somehow baked herself. But these rich, tactile memories became quite pale and thin when measured by the Christmas my great aunt kept deep within. Her body halved and nearly spent, but my great aunt was whole. I saw a Christmas miracle, the triumph of the soul. The triple beat of 2 feet and a crutch came down the hall. The rattle of the china in the hutch against the wall. She poured 2 cups. She smiled, and then she handed one to me. And then we settled back and had a cup of Christmas tea.
For all of us here at Charlotte Talks, Wendy Herkey, Aaron Kiever, Chris Miller, Jesse Steinmetz, and Jennifer Worsham, Merry Christmas. I'm Mike Collins.
Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to Mazda's focus to ensure every element of a car is designed around the driver. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.